Welcome to the show. This is Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We are going to take a look today at the Mass readings for Wednesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. We'll also be joined by Dr. Gregory Popchak in a pre-recorded interview that I did on my Spirit in the Morning show, Feelings. What are feelings all about? I invited Dr. Greg on the show to discuss this important topic. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like being nice to this person. I don't feel like God is real. I don't feel that he answers my prayers. So many times we're driven by our feelings. Now, before we say simply ignore your feelings, we don't always want to do that. The church teaches that feelings are morally neutral. But as you'll hear in this interview, Dr. Popchak points out these feelings could be telling us something. So we want to at least learn to listen to our feelings. That's what's in store for you today on the program. And again, thanks so much for making this podcast a part of your day. I want to start with a prayer that I want to give you a brief piece of news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire all of my words today on the program, and please open our hearts and our minds so that we may all be able to hear the message that you have for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to think if I needed to add a little more, but I think we're going to leave it at that tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Okay, so I am headed to Cleveland, Ohio tomorrow to speak at a homeschool conference on Friday and on Saturday. I originally said I might be able to do two podcasts tomorrow and Friday, but I don't think that's going to be possible. So with your permission, I mean, I hope this is okay with you, I'm not going to do a show on Thursday or Friday of this week. That may change, but at the moment, that's the plan. And I doubt it's going to change, but in the unlikely event it does change and they pop up there, you'll know what's going on. So if you don't see a podcast for Thursday or Friday this week, you know why. I intend to be back on Monday, and this is my last trip for a little while. So I think I'll be around for most of the month of August. So this shouldn't happen again in the foreseeable future. But I thank you in advance for understanding. Also, I'm working on getting that Patreon account set up. And that is going to be specifically directed to anybody who worries. So it's going to be a podcast designed for worriers. It will not affect this program, the Gary Zimak Show. This is totally different. I'm going to keep this separate. It's going to be above and beyond that. I'll give you more information on that. I've got to figure out how to do it technically. I'm not sure how to make it all work yet. I'm not sure if what I want to do is even possible. So bear with me on that. I will provide more information as soon as I come up with anything on that, okay? So in the meantime, we're going to be here. But Thursday and Friday, I'm going to take some time off. The podcast will resume next Monday. And listen, thanks for listening to the show. When I decided to recreate it after taking a several-month hiatus, and that decision was based on your comments, when I decided to do that, I wasn't sure if anybody would care, but I really appreciate the comments. I really appreciate the donations that you're giving me to keep this going. Again, I need your help. You are the ones that are funding my work. Right now, I can't do it without your help. So I really want to thank you for that. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com or go to my website, followingthetruth.com, to find out more information about how to bring me to your parish, about my books, about my speaking, whatever it is. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, beverage du jour for Gary today. Here we go. A very large mug of Mystic Monk coffee. This is Mystic Monk blend. It's their milder version. Mystic Monk coffee. If you haven't tried it, make sure you go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image. It is good stuff. And when you buy Mystic Monk coffee, not only are you getting some great coffee, you're supporting the Carmelite monks in Cody, Wyoming. These guys are the real deal. If you ever go to their website, you'll see all about them. They love the Blessed Mother and Jesus, and they make some really fine coffee. When you buy it from my website, I make a few extra pennies too, so you help me out as well. Mystic Monk Coffee, make sure you check it out. Readings today, 15th week in Ordinary Time, Wednesday of 15th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the high priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in fire, flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered, Here I am. God said, Come no nearer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your father. He continued, The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have truly noted that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? He answered, I will be with you, and this shall be your proof that it is I who have sent you. When you bring my people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. All right, what's taking place here? Moses is at work, and I love this. I love this detail. You don't want to forget this. This is so crucial to the story. Moses isn't looking for the Lord. Moses is tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, leading the flock across the desert. He's at work. He's on the job. He all of a sudden comes to this fire flaming out of a bush, the burning bush, the fire that burns but doesn't go out. The really neat thing to take note of at the start of this is God meets Moses on the job, if you will. He's at work. He meets him in the ordinary circumstances of his life. That is exactly where he meets us. Sometimes we think we've got to go on this big quest to find God. Well, we really don't. He's right where we are. Wherever we are, that's where he is. So he meets us, too, at work, at school, at home. Wherever we are, the Lord is there as well. So take note of that. That's a really important detail. The other thing is the burning bush, this mysterious bush, burns, but the fire doesn't go out. It's been said, it's been speculated by some theologians over the years, this represents the Blessed Virgin in all of her virginity and the Lord coming out of her, you know, in the womb. That's one possibility. The other possibility is God's power. He is all powerful, and therefore the fire is raging but is not burning. There are a number of different possible interpretations, but the important thing to remember is it's holy ground. It's where Moses first encountered the Lord. It's a big deal. You know, you and me, we could go to Holy Communion, we could go to adoration, and we can encounter Jesus in his real presence, right? But back in the day of Moses, Jesus had not been born yet. So that was not possible. This is a big deal. He is going, he has an encounter of the Lord. Again, he's not seeking him out, but he finds him. And what does the Lord say? Moses, I have, and he calls him. He calls Moses. And Moses, if you note, answered, Here I am. And the Lord said, I have chosen you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. He has chosen Moses. What are Moses' qualifications? Well, he didn't have many, and that's the beautiful thing. God doesn't call the qualified. You've heard this expression probably. God qualifies the called. So he calls you and me, too, to do his work. Are we necessarily pre-qualified? Do we have to have theology degrees? No, not at all. That's the beautiful thing about doing the Lord's work. He calls all of us, and he doesn't care about our qualifications. What he cares about is, will we say yes? Now, Moses gave it to the Lord, and there are more details into this story than we see here, but essentially, he said, no, you got the wrong guy. I have a speech impediment. I can't do that, and it goes back and forth, and more so than what we're reading here, Moses really tries to get out of this, and the Lord was really patient with him and said, I'm going to give you what you need. I'll be with you. You know, and that's, I think, the thing. That's the lesson for us to remember. He's going to be with us. If we think that he is sending us out into the world on our own without any help, we're mistaken. The Lord wants us to share his good news with the people out in the world. He does. He wants us to do that. But he doesn't want us to do it on our own. He's going to give us what we need. He'll give us the grace that we need to be able to do that. One of the great sources of grace that we can receive is the Eucharist. You get the Eucharist. You can receive the Eucharist every day, and that gives you the grace that you need to be able to go share the good news with those around you. Is that challenging sometimes? You bet. It's a challenging task for us. because people don't want to hear it. You're going to be distracted every imaginable way. You'll come up with all kinds of temptations that'll surround you. I mean, there are the number of obstacles to us doing this. Don't give up. It's really easy to give up and say, oh, yeah, I messed it up one time. I'm going to mess it up again. No. Just continue to keep trying one day at a time. Psalm 103 is our responsorial psalm. The Lord is kind and merciful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with justice, with kindness and compassion. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. He called Moses. He made himself, the Lord made himself known to Moses, and that's where he gave him his mission. Moses, I need you to be the guy to lead the people out of slavery. Again, why did God choose Moses? We don't know that, but he did. He did choose Moses. And then, as it's stated in this psalm, the people, the children of Israel, are going to see the deeds of the Lord. They're going to be in for quite a show over the course of the 40 years that they are wandering in the desert trying to get from Egypt to the promised land. And by the way, that's 40 years that they wandered around going in a very circuitous route. They were going every which way, and they were really, this, from what I've been told, I forget what the amount of the journey is. It's like a 7-day journey or something. It's a very short journey, but it took them a long time to make it through the desert, because they were going all over the place. They were giving the Lord a hard time. But they did get to see how the Lord provided for them. How the Lord provided for them with the manna. And we're going to see some of the details in the days to come. The Gospel is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The message here, I think, for us, or something to really keep in mind, is the fact that in order for us to hear the Lord and really listen to him and really be able to encounter him, we need to have a childlike spirit. And that means we trust him. Because you know what happens? So many times, as we get older, when we're children, we have no problem accepting what our parents tell us. Our parents tell us to do something, especially when we're really young, we trust them. But as we get older, we become cynical, we become jaded, we become oftentimes too smart for our own good. And then as a result, in our relationship with the Lord, we see this. We question everything. And we think, oh, that can't be. There's no way he can take care of this problem, or he can't fix my money issues. He can take care of some things, but no, this one is beyond him. And we tend to not believe. But yet a small child, you tell a small child Jesus can perform miracles, they're going to believe. But yet we question. In order for us to fully enter into a good quality relationship with Jesus Christ, what do we need to do? We need to be able to be like a small child. And that's what the Lord said. If you want to get to heaven, you need to be like a small child. Meaning, not that you're immature, but it means that you trust. It means that you don't question everything. It means that by faith, you accept some things that are honestly pretty hard to accept. Pretty hard to accept. Some of the miracles that Jesus performed, including the resurrection, are difficult to accept. They're not easy for us to accept as adults, because we look at it and we say, well, no, that's just not possible. Peter walking on the water. If Peter would have questioned that and said, this is not possible, he would have never gotten out of the boat. But what did he do? He looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And what did Peter do? He responded and he went out there and he walked on the water. He was doing fine up until the point where he took his eyes off of Jesus. So that's the key. As we walk through life, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And that involves praying. That involves setting time aside each day for prayer. when we do that, does that mean we still won't stumble? No, we're still going to stumble because we're human. We have a fallen human nature, and we have a tendency to be a little self-centered. We have a tendency to not trust. We have a tendency to do what we want instead of what God wants us to do. And as a result, we're going to mess up. But each day, you get the chance to start over again. So if you did something today maybe you're not happy with, happens to me all the time, tell the Lord you're sorry. Do anything you can do to correct the problem. Maybe apologize to somebody if you said something, or fix the problem if possible. Make it a point to get to confession as soon as you can. And then start over. Ask for the grace to do better. That's the beautiful thing about having a loving God in our life. He's going to accept our mistakes. He wants us to do better, but he's never going to say, that's it, I'm not going to forgive you. As long as you repent and say, I'm sorry, he will forgive you. All right, when we come back, Dr. Gregory Popcheck will talk about feelings. Why are feelings important? Should we listen to them? Should we ignore them? What can we learn from feelings? You are listening to The Gary Zimak Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. On snowy days in the Chicago neighborhood of Humboldt Park, residents who shovel out their cars put chairs in their parking spaces as a way of calling dibs on the spot when they return home. That leads to arguing over minimal parking spaces, so Jamie Lynn Ferguson did something about it. After one snowstorm, she took the day off from her job at Breakthrough Urban Ministries to dig out every car on her block. She told the Chicago Sun-Times, "Forget about dibs and I'll just do it for you. I think it's a better way for us to live as people who look out for each other instead of fighting for spots." It took Jamie Lynn all day, but her efforts were appreciated. She said, "To me, it's a simple thing to do for your neighbors, but the look of awe on their faces is so rewarding." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And that was Lord, I Need You by Matt Maher. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Who remembers that Morris Albert song from the 70s? Well, I wanted to talk about feelings on the program today because so many times we don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like God exists. I don't feel that God hears my prayers. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like, you know, so many things. Feelings can be a very important part of our lives. When should we listen to them? When should we not listen to them? We have an expert with us today. Dr. Gregory Popcheck joins us on the program now to talk about feelings. Greg, are you going to sing it for us?
Feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
You're the man. You're the man.
Forget my. Yeah, ooh. Sorry. Hey, Gary, how's it going, man?
Good. Yeah, you want to keep going? I could be quiet if you'd like.
Feelings. whoa. Feelings.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
there you
it.
Go. Hey. You know, if this whole kind of Catholic therapy gig doesn't work out, it's nice to have something to fall back on.
There you go.
The future.
Hey, man, let me know if you need a guitar player. That's my background, so, you know, we could take the show on the road, brother.
Millions of people listening right now are shuddering. Right now,
Greg, let's talk about this topic. I mean, thanks for coming on the show. This is something that I am very fascinated by because I'm the type of guy who feels a lot of things, and I am sometimes driven by my feelings. And rather than just write them off, I think there's a time, correct me if I'm wrong, that we need to listen to our feelings. So let's talk a little bit about feelings. What are they, what the church teaches, and what do we do with them?
Well, you know, feelings are an important part of who we are, you know, and in the theology of the body, we're taught that every part of us, our time, our treasure, our talent, and even our bodies, we're created by God to work for our good and the good of other people. And that includes our feelings. You know, we often don't think of feelings as part of our body, but they are. You know, our brain, our nervous system, our endocrine system all work together to create feelings. Yeah. And so in God's design, our feelings are meant by God to work for our good and the good of others. Unfortunately, in this fallen world, because we're all sinful and living in this, the post-fallen world, they don't always do that.
Right.
So the challenge here is to not either give in to all the things our feelings tell us, or for that matter, to repress all of our feelings, but rather to test our feelings and to really bring them to God and to the light of grace and say, okay, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do with this feeling that I have? So it's okay to listen to all of our feelings, but we have to test those feelings as well and not just do what they tell us.
You know, I talk a lot about overcoming anxiety. That's something that I've struggled with throughout my life. Greg, is it okay to be afraid, or is there ever a time when I look at the fact that I'm, for instance, living in fear? I'm afraid of everything. I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of what might happen to me today. The church teaches that feelings are morally neutral. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but is there ever a time when I need to look at myself and say, why am I so afraid? Maybe there's something I need to focus on. Maybe I shouldn't be as afraid as I am.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's part of what I mean when I say we need to test our feelings.
Yeah.
You know, listen to them, but test them. You know, think of it this way. You know, feelings. feelings are the if you will the idiot lights in the human dashboard. I don't know if you call them that.
No, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So those, the check engine light or the oil light or whatever, those things come on your dashboard. You know, if my check engine light comes on, that tells me something's wrong in the car. Now, that could mean my engine fell out a block back or so. or it could mean that the check engine light shorted out. You know, one extreme to the other. But I'm not going to know what that light means until I pull the car over and pop the hood and see what's there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's what feelings are. Feelings indicate some kind of change in my body, my relationships, my environment. There's some sort of change from one state to another, and that's when I have a feeling of some sort.
Okay.
It lets me know in a general way that something's changed for the better or for the worse. But it doesn't tell me what, and it doesn't tell me what to do about it.
Okay.
And so it's okay for me to kind of look at that feeling and say, okay, something's changed, but then I have to step back and say, well, now what? So, for example, if I'm feeling anxious or angry or whatever, is it because there's a real problem that needs to be addressed? Or is it that I didn't get enough sleep last night or haven't had enough protein yet or, you know, I'm getting sick or what? I have to sort of step back and say, well, what's really going on here? And really test that feeling so that I can have a clearer sense of what that light is pointing to, instead of just saying, because I feel this way, therefore there must be something, you know, the immediate thing that I'm looking at that's wrong, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I get what you're saying there.
No, if I'm anxious, it must be because there's something to be afraid of, as opposed to if I'm anxious, it's because something has changed, but I'm not sure what. Let me take a look at that.
Okay. How about this one? And this is a common one. This is something that I struggle with. Sometimes I pray, and boy, I feel such a sense of peace. Sometimes I pray, and I feel nothing. Is that a big problem, or is that another example of I need to look at why that might be happening?
Well, sure. And I mean, but I also think that we have these sort of magical ideas about our relationship with God. You know, sometimes I feel head over heels in love with my wife, and sometimes I don't feel much of anything. But it doesn't mean that I love my wife any less on those days that I don't have those feelings than on the days that I do. Whether I love my wife or not has to do with how I treat her and how I respond to her and how I, engage with her throughout the day. And the same thing is true in my relationship with God. Sometimes I'm going to feel connected to him. Sometimes I'm not going to feel connected to him. That indicates that there's some kind of a change in the relationship. But if I'm still listening to him, if I'm still engaged with him, if I'm still inviting him to be part of my life, then I have to assume that I'm in love with him and he's in love with me and we can get on with our day.
Right. So even if I don't feel like praying, I should do it anyway, because if I claim to love God, that's part of that relationship.
Well, right, and honestly, that's the best way to get back to those feelings. You know, feelings follow action. It's sort of a truism in the psych biz that when we want to feel something, we need to act like it. That's sort of a first aid attempt to change our feelings. Mm-hmm. If I want to feel in love with my wife, then I need to do something loving for my wife. And chances are, I will, having done that thing, bought her some flowers or written her a love note or something, I will feel more loving afterwards. Same thing with God. I might not feel like reaching out to God in prayer, but having done it, I'm going to feel closer to him than if I didn't.
One time somebody came up to me and said, Gary, there must be something wrong with me and my relationship with the Lord, because when I receive Holy Communion, I don't feel a thing. And I said, no, that's okay, because a lot of times I don't either. And you know, Greg, it just doesn't feel right to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in communion and not feel anything. But that's pretty normal, isn't it?
Well, it is normal. But I want to say one thing out there. You know, how do I put it? It's not a matter of just saying, okay, just because you don't feel anything, that's perfectly normal. Yeah, it is. It is perfectly normal. But I also know that a lot of Catholics really struggle with inviting God in. You know, we have a tendency to kind of go through the rituals and, and do the outward things, but we never say, you know what, God, come into my heart. You know, really take all of me and teach me what you want me to do. Help me to hear your voice, to know your will, and love you first and most with everything that I am. And if you're doing that, first of all, then you can trust that whatever you're feeling is true.
Interesting.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
I do.
If you haven't done that yet, then maybe you're not feeling it because you haven't invited him in.
Interesting.
But if you have invited him in and you're not feeling it, well, then you can assume that God's doing something else that moment.
Interesting. So there could be a case where I am at fault for not feeling anything, and that gets back to what you said in the beginning.
You got to test the feeling, right? You can't just assume that because I feel this or I don't feel that it's okay. St. Ignatius of Loyola actually talks about consolations and desolations.
Yeah.
If you will, consolations are those feelings or impulses or desires that push us closer to God and help us be more the person God wants us to be. Desolations are feelings or impulses or desires that pull us away from God and make it harder for us to be who God wants us to be. And that's how I test my feelings. I ask my feeling, ask God, does this feeling I'm having make it more possible for me to be closer to you and more the person God wants me to be, or is it pulling me away from you and making it harder for me to be the person God wants me to be? And if it's a desolation, then I have to work to overcome that feeling. If it's a consolation, I can go with it.
You know, we have about 30 seconds left. Can I share something with you?
Mm-hmm.
Every time you come on the show, I feel much better.
You better test that feeling, Gary.
Hey, Doc, where can we find you online?
CatholicCounselors.com.
Great job, my friend. I'll have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Dr. Gregory Popcheck, you're the man, brother.
Great segment.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, too. Dr. Greg Popcheck talking about feelings, man, and singing, serenading us this morning. How about that?
Yeah, that started the whole segment beautifully.
He's good, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He is. I really love that segment. That was so succinct and spot on.
Dave, so many times we are driven by our feelings, and
Yes.
Dr. Greg said, we need to test those feelings.
Absolutely.
So, some Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door. You're ready to defend Jesus' divinity, but they throw you a curveball and deny the divinity of the Holy Spirit. What do you do? Well, first, you could turn to 1 Corinthians 2:11, where Paul says, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If the Spirit can comprehend the infinite thoughts of God, he must be infinite, and thus God. You could then turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and here Peter rebukes Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit, but then a few sentences later says they lied to God. How can lying to the Holy Spirit be the same as lying to God unless the Holy Spirit is God? So with verses like these, you can hit that curveball and defend the divinity of the Holy Spirit. I'm Carlo Broussard with A Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And welcome back to the show. Thanks again for tuning in tonight. Remember, I'm going to take tomorrow and Friday off. So I'm going to take a couple days off while I travel to Cleveland. But don't worry, God willing, I plan to be back on Monday. Remember to follow me online. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Thank you for your support, your prayers, your donations. And remember also that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. This is Gary Zimak saying so long for now. Talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.